intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Lisa Bernhardt for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Sports Illustrated Kids Edition, the September and October edition. We're going to look at the Freaky Football Preview. There's no denying Justin Herbert has got a great head on his shoulders. It's why he and the Los Angeles Chargers are scary good. Justin Herbert can afford all the eggs he wants. He just doesn't want to buy any. Back in the summer of 2023, he signed a contract extension with the Los Angeles Chargers that pays him more than $50 million per year. That doesn't mean the 27-year-old quarterback is out there blowing money. When he's at his home outside Eugene, Oregon, Herbert likes a big breakfast, so he'll make eggs laid by the chickens that live on his property. My brothers and I go down there and get 10 eggs a day, Herbert says. It's pretty cool, and we don't have to go to the store to get any more eggs. The chickens are just part of the wildlife menagerie that Herbert has on his property. There are goats, pigs, and bees. Yes, he has one of those suits that beekeepers wear. He's always been mesmerized by nature. His grandfather and father were both biology teachers. We'd be hanging out in the yard, exploring, you know, looking at insects, snakes, things like that, Herbert says. Life was always so interesting. When he got to college at the University of Oregon, Herbert wasn't banking on a football career. He was planning on becoming a doctor, so he majored in biology and was so knowledgeable that he was actually a teaching assistant in one of the hardest classes on campus. It was Biology 212, Organisms. I was explaining how cells work together in our daily life, how we breathe, how organisms work, he says. Then a funny thing happened. His football career took off. In high school, Herbert had been more focused on baseball and fishing. He and some pals started an angling club at Sheldon High that got upwards of 70 members. A broken leg slowed his recruitment, so he went to Oregon as a relatively unheralded prospect. By the middle of his freshman season, he was starting. And when his senior campaign rolled around, Herbert stayed in school all 4 years, he was one of the most highly touted quarterbacks in the country. He attributes some of that success to the lessons he learned in biology, how bodies work together. It all goes back to making things make sense, Herbert explains. If you really understand how one thing affects the other, and if this affects that, you can go down this line of, this is what's going to happen with this protein. And with defenses, it's the same way. If you're looking at coverages, if this guy's standing here and he's got this zone, well, this guy must have this one. You can go down that path. If you're getting certain pressures, you understand that guys have to be covering certain zones. Learning how to study, that's really important in football. Not every quarterback in the NFL compares defenses to proteins, but maybe more should. To Chargers opponents, Herbert is something of an evil genius. In his 5 seasons with the team, Herbert has averaged more than 4,000 yards in a season. Last year, his first under coach Jim Harbaugh, Herbert threw for 3,870 yards with just 3 interceptions. Los Angeles went 11-6, its best record since 2018. But the season came to an abrupt end in the wild card round of the playoffs when Herbert was uncharacteristically intercepted 4 times in a loss to the Texans. There's no denying, however, that the team is in a great place under Harbaugh, who inherited a team that won just 5 games in 2023. The margins in the NFL are so razor thin that those slight changes make a huge difference, says Herbert. Where we were a couple of years ago, it doesn't seem like we were that far off. But all of those tiny details that Coach Harbaugh emphasizes, it adds up over time. How detail-oriented is Harbaugh? At his introductory press conference, he raved about how excited he was to go to Home Depot to buy a vacuum for the team's weight room. Herbert hasn't beaten himself up over the playoff defeat. Instead, he went home to Oregon, worked out, and spent some time reflecting and caring for his brood. Just took care of some farm animals, played some football, and worked out, he says. I think that was important for me, especially after a tough year, bouncing back and taking some time off to go enjoy things outside of football, and then come back when it's time to go and get ready to get after it. Now we're going to take a look at some of the conferences in the National Football League. Let's look at the AFC first. The most cursed matchup, the AFC East. The Bills had quite a memorable 2024 season. They won 13 games. They scored more points than any team in the AFC. Their quarterback, Josh Allen, was named MVP, Buffalo's first since 1991, and they still couldn't beat the Chiefs when it mattered. For the 4th time in 5 years, the Bills' season ended with a playoff loss to Kansas City. Buffalo's off-season moves seemed to be made with Kansas City in mind. The Bills kept their offense intact, most notably re-signing Allen, and loaded up on pass rushers and defensive backs to try to slow the Chiefs' passing attack. Playing in a soft division, no other team was above 500 last year, gives Buffalo the luxury of planning for the playoffs. It seems likely the Bills will meet the Chiefs again. Maybe bring an exorcist this time. The North is a dangerous decision. The AFC North has a reputation as a hard-nosed, gritty division. But in reality, it's home to two of the best quarterbacks in the game, Baltimore's Lamar Jackson and Cincinnati's Joe Burrow, who led the second and third most potent offense in the AFC. The less said about Cleveland's quarterback situation, the better. Clearly, the days of a team pounding its way to a division championship are over, which is why Pittsburgh said goodbye to Russell Wilson, a perfectly good passer, and brought in Aaron Rodgers. He was a disaster with two years with the Jets, but the Steelers are banking on the hope that they're getting the Rodgers who built a Hall of Fame resume in 18 years with the Packers. Rodgers is 41, and if time catches up with him, the Pittsburgh's 21-season streak of not having a losing record could come to an end. AFC South. Spookiest kids. Anyone who's ever seen a horror film knows this universal truth. The younger the character, the greater the potential for creepiness. So anyone spooked by the Youngs ought to steer clear of the South, where Jacksonville has one of the most fearsome newcomers the NFL has seen in years. A big play receiver, as well as a shutdown defensive back, Travon Hunter has the potential to dominate on both sides of the ball. He's also got a great personality, which means he could become the face of the franchise for years to come. And he wasn't even the first kid selected in the draft by an AFC South team. The top pick was Cameron Ward of the Titans, a former zero-star recruit who eventually dazzled scouts with his arm strength and running ability. The division may be light on good teams. No South team has made the Super Bowl since 2010, but there's plenty of potential star power. West is the demonic division. Pretend for a second that you play for the Las Vegas Raiders. Never mind the fact that you're probably in junior high school and your parents would never let you move to Vegas. Just go with us here. You'd probably feel pretty good about your team's off-season moves. Brought in Super Bowl winning coach Pete Carroll and a high-profile offensive mastermind, Chip Kelly. Acquired a new quarterback, Geno Smith, and drafted an exciting running back, Ashton Jeanty. Sorry to burst your bubble, but you're still probably finishing last in a brutal division featuring three teams that won double-digit games last year, led by Kansas City, 13-4, which made it to the AFC Championship game for the seventh year in a row. 7 years. With Patrick Mahomes at the peak of his powers, that era of dominance shows no signs of letting up. Now on to the NFC. Beware the road ahead. The scariest schedule in the league lands in the lap of the Giants. The season is spooky enough for new quarterback Russell Wilson and a team that went 3-14 last year. But it's not an easy path for anyone in the NFC East. The Eagles contend with the fourth hardest schedule in the league, but with a far sunnier outlook. They return from a Super Bowl win with a roster full of powerhouse players. New blood for the Cowboys, including coach Brian Schottenheimer and receiver George Pickens, join quarterback Dak Prescott to navigate the fifth hardest schedule in the NFL. And the Commanders face the eighth hardest route to the playoffs. Jaden Daniels and coach Dan Quinn tend to instill fear rather than succumb to it. But it's a division filled with chilling schedules. The North, the cover curse. Don't even mention the injured reserve list to the Lions, who were decimated by injuries last year. They still somehow went 15-2, made the playoffs, and were first in the NFC North. But there's a scary story lurking. Detroit was featured on the cover of the 2024 Sports Illustrated Football Preview. A tenuous position given the fact many athletes who have appeared on SI and SI Kids covers have ended up injured. Luckily, stars Jared Goff, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and Penei Sewell remained healthy, but the curse took out nearly two dozen Lions, including Aiden Hutchinson. And while the team faced losses of a different kind, when both the offensive and defensive coordinators left for new head coaching jobs, the Lions returned healthy and hungry for a deep playoff run, and maybe finally a trip to the Super Bowl. The South, alarming quarterbacks. The Saints have a scary quarterback situation. A few months after ushering in new head coach Kellen Moore to rectify a 5-12 season and 4 years without a playoff appearance, New Orleans quarterback Derek Carr announced his retirement. It forced the Saints to consider the dreadful question of whether rookie quarterback Tyler Shuck, a second-round pick from Louisville, is good enough to take over. Another scary question, will Saints wide receiver Chris Olave stay healthy enough to give Shuck a decent target? Olave missed 9 starts last year. Tampa Bay, however, has a quarterback scenario of a different sort with a scary good arm in Baker Mayfield. He threw for career best 4,500 yards and 41 touchdowns last year, with a schedule that the Giants would die for. Mayfield and the Bucks are sure to sign. Sure to shine. The West, a terror-filled tale. Christian McCaffrey is back after missing a total of 13 games for the 49ers last season due to injuries. This year, the running back returns with zero restrictions and a lot of time to make up for. San Francisco finished 6-11 and at the bottom of the NFC West without beloved receiver Deebo Samuel Sr. and Brandon Ayuk on ice until around week 6, Brock Purdy will need help from young playmakers like Ricky Pearsall if the Niners want a real redemption tour. If veterans like Jawan Jennings and tight end George Kittle can stay healthy, and if McCaffrey performs like he did in 2023 when he rushed for a career-best 1,459 yards, Coach Kyle Shanahan may finally get the monkey off his back. The 49ers have an intimidating arsenal ready to rock and roll if their offensive weapons remain in working order. Now we're going to read about some college carnage. Behold the behemoths. Last year marked the first season that the NCAA had a 12-team playoff. It was a success. How do we know this? Because almost immediately there were proposals to expand the tournament to 16 teams. And then, before that was ever seriously discussed, Big Ten officials suggested a 24 or 28 team field. Clearly, bigger is better. The reason the Big Ten wants a larger tourney is to give more teams from its conference a guaranteed berth. The concept floated gave the Big Ten and the SEC 7 spots each. Keep in mind that last year the 7th best team in the Big Ten was 8-5. Still, it's not hard to see why the big conferences feel like they deserve more representation. Of the top 9 teams in the preseason AP poll, 7 are from the SEC or Big Ten. Texas, a relative newcomer to the SEC, is the consensus number 1 thanks to quarterback Arch Manning. To play their way into the 12-team CFP, the Longhorns will likely have to beat traditional powers Florida, Georgia, and Oklahoma. Texas, however, will avoid Alabama, a team still trying to figure things out after longtime coach Nick Saban retired 2 years ago. In their first season under Kalen DeBoer, the Crimson Tide went 9-4, a respectable mark, but respectable isn't something Bama fans accept. Last year was the first time the program lost more than 2 games since 2010. After the departure of quarterback Jalen Milroe to the NFL, DeBoer will try Ty Simpson, who has thrown just 50 passes in three seasons in Tuscaloosa. So DeBoer already finds himself under pressure. But his seat isn't nearly as hot as the one occupied by Penn State's James Franklin. In his 11 seasons as coach of the Nittany Lions, his team have been the definition of good, but not great. Franklin has won more than 70% of his games, but is just 4-20 against teams in the top 10. He'll have a chance to improve that mark on November 1st when Penn State plays preseason number 3 Ohio State. With the return of quarterback Drew Allar, who threw for 3,327 yards last year, expectations will be sky high in College State. Fair? Maybe not. But that's life in the NCAA's two super conferences. Looking at some devilishly good teams, Arizona, stay out of the sun, or you might get burned. With Texas Tech at home and a slew of winnable games on the road, an elite experienced defense and a Heisman candidate, quarterback Sam Leavitt, the Sun Devils could scorch the Big 12 and sneak into the CFP. Navy. Sir, yes, sir. Navy roared back to life in 2024 and returns with a triple option attack this season. Stacked with impressive core players like quarterback Blake Horvath and running back Alex Texa, the team is ready to prove last year wasn't a fluke. Miami, you betcha. If spending big money on Georgia transfer Carson Beck pays off and the quarterback looks anything like he did in 2023, the Canes could storm through the ACC and make landfall in the playoffs with a 10-win season. Invasion of the Heisman Snatchers. Arch Manning, Garrett Nussmeier, Jeremiah Smith. The names dominating the Heisman conversation have a crop of quarterbacks and one standout wide receiver owning all of the buzz. But which dark horse hopefuls might snatch the trophy away? South Carolina's Lenora Sellers, whose performance last year earned the Gamecocks wins over Texas A&M and Clemson, lurks in the quarterback race. That alone should keep Cade Klubnik from dusting off a spot on the shelf too soon. But don't forget about Drew Allar, Gunnar Stockton, or Sam Leavitt. Any one of these talented players could cause a horrible upset to an otherwise obvious Heisman pick. Macabre mascots. First things first, we apologize. We're sorry for making you consider Pistol Pete, especially if you're reading this near bedtime. He looks like something you would conjure up by saying his name in a mirror. And he will haunt your dreams. But here's the funny thing. The school he represents is just as scary. Oklahoma State is one of those teams that isn't going to make the CFP, but the Cowboys are certainly capable of derailing another team's hopes. The same can be said of potential Giant Slayers Vanderbilt, whose mascot, Mr. Commodore, looks like an evil uncle. Maybe there's a lesson here. When you're scheduling games, stick to opponents with cute mascots. Pistol Pete has a rather large head with an even bigger cowboy hat in the shade of orange. He also wears some orange chaps and an orange kerchief around his neck. with a white shirt and a brown vest. I think the scariest thing about him is that he has the bushiest eyebrows and the darkest eyes, with a handlebar mustache and very long sideburns. He's back! Once upon a time, a boy poured himself some hot chocolate and snuggled in for a night of college football. Once a feverish NFL fan, the child's nerves had been wrecked by countless losses. The boy sipped his drink, trying to forget the single figure who had haunted his family throughout his entire NFL fandom. How many losses had they suffered? Countless. And how many Super Bowls had the same man in the threadbare, short-sleeved hoodie claimed? Click. Clack. A branch hit the window outside. The boy shuddered. Eight. It was eight Super Bowls, the most of any NFL coach in history. The boy snuggled into the TCU blanket on his lap, taking comfort in a new league. He didn't need to worry. The man was gone now, retired. The TV glowed in the dark as TCU took the field against UNC. And then the boy saw it, like a ghoul rising from the depths of a nightmare. Right there, in the same awful hoodie, was the man who had terrorized the NFL, resurrected and brought back to life in the NCAA. "Mom," the boy cried out, "it's Bill Belichick. He's back." We have run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. We hope you enjoyed listening. Please join us next time. I'm Lisa Bernhard, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingsservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.